song. He asked me if I had a song to sing, and I gave him that number, and I said, I'm not sure if anybody here ever sang that song. I forgot to tell him that I never did, but I loved it. It sounded great. Thank you, Robert. You know, it's really sad when you think about the people in this world and how so many people today, they can't identify themselves. There are so many people today that they don't know who they are. They want to find fulfillment on a constant level, but they can't because they're looking in all the wrong places. So many people today are looking into themselves, or they look deeply at others, and they want to find themselves, but they cannot. And the reason that they cannot is because they're walking in a dark place and they really can't see where they're going, and they refuse the only light that can help them to see who they need to be opposed to who they are now. And we know who that light is, right? That light is Jesus. That light's our Lord. That light is our King and our Savior. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And he said, but the God of grace, I am, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's a really powerful statement coming from Paul, because he is actually telling us that by the grace of God, he stopped being who he was. And he began to be who he is. You see, there's a great contrast between Saul, the one who went out murdering and dragging people off to prison and seeking the letters from the Pharisees to just drag people into Jerusalem and throw them into jail. But Paul goes on to say that his grace, God's grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than all the rest, yet not I. Those of us who are part of the body of Christ now, we need to realize that there has been a change. And the labor that we have in Christ Jesus is not because of our own strength. It's because of Him. It's because of His grace. And Paul says, I labor more abundantly than all the rest, but yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 10. And you know, we have talked together about some great things of God. And I don't know if we, you know, every message has been awesome, but I know for sure that God is. I know that there are so many great things of God that we could spend the rest of our lives studying. And God's grace is certainly one of the greats. His grace, His amazing grace. And so many today are, they're perplexed, they're lost, and they're unable to find themselves because they refuse God's amazing grace. And I don't know why. They refuse His grace that can help them when they're lost to be found. And if they don't know who they are or why they're here, God can show you. He can show you that you do have purpose in life. To fear God and keep His commandments, to love God with all your heart, to obey God in everything, and to walk in His grace like Paul. And you don't have to feel disconnected. You know that you're disconnected when you spend your life day to day searching. And every Christian in this room ought to be spending their life day to day searching, right? But we're searching the Scriptures. But if you spend every day of your life from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, and you're just searching for answers, you're trying to find the right place to worship, you're trying to find all the answers to all the questions about life and godliness, and you haven't found them yet because you're in the wrong place. You're turning to get answers from the wrong place. And we don't need to be like that. We just need to hear what the Lord has to say. We just need to know what the Lord has to say about these things. Listen to another way in which Paul put this as we read about this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me." Did you know you were enabled? "I am able to do all things through Him who gives me strength." Enabled means that you've been turned on. You've been turned on. God threw a switch through the blood of Christ and He turned you on. And He made it possible for you to do things that maybe you couldn't quite reach before. You've been enabled. And He said, "He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly..." You realize you were formerly. You were formerly. Paul said he was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. And he said, "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief." Unbelief. And listen, the best of us can have unbelief time when we're really confused. But the God of heaven, through His Word, can dispel that. I honestly believe the only people that are going to ever make it to heaven are people who simply believe. It's a pretty simple formula. What saith the Lord? I believe. And He says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant." There's nothing that you can ever do in your life prior to being a Christian that can stop you from becoming a child of God. Nothing. No sin. When we think about who wrote this, it was the Apostle Paul, who was the blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but he obtained mercy because God turned him on. He enabled him. And Paul went from Saul to Paul. He went from the one who drugged people off to prison to the one who preached the gospel. Isn't that amazing? Exceedingly abundant with faith and love. He goes on to say, "This is the faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." I know He did that. He came and He saved me. And He's also said that He obtained mercy to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Does that sound familiar? I'm hoping that this is tunneling your thoughts to a man who was once something and then later was something else, because that's going to be true about all of us tonight, I pray. No matter what you were, the grace of the Lord is exceedingly and abundantly full of faith and love in Christ Jesus. Jesus came in the world to enable you. Jesus came into the world to save you. No matter how bad you were, no matter how many bad things you've done in your past, no matter what sins you've committed, Jesus came to give you mercy and grace. He came to save you by His blood, so that you can believe on Him to everlasting life. Everybody in this room, all these principles apply. So what is the point tonight? The point is that if you turn to the Lord, what you were can be different from what you'll be. And this is a twofold message. The first side of this message is for people who are already in Christ, that you'll be able to sit back and say, "Yes, I was, and now I am." When you think about the things that are happening. And the second part of this message is for people who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And without change, remember, there can be no change. But there is promise in this message. Promise that you can change. Promise that you don't have to be who you are. You can be who God wants you to be. And so let's go on with the idea of what I was and what I am. At one point in time, all of us were dead. Dead in our sins. That's something we were. That's what I was. You know, dead, but now alive. Dead means that you are separated from God. You're not a part of His kingdom, His body on this earth. That you have no part in His ministry. But alive means that you are spiritually living for Him in Christ forever. Death is the separation in God, in Christ. It's a separation. As Paul put it, you have been made alive, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. But we're made alive means that we're no longer in our sins. We're no longer separated from God. Paul said, you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. That's when you can say, what I was is not what I am now. And if you can say that tonight, you're blessed. And if you can't, then listen on and realize that all of these hopes are yours for the taking. Why is this true? How is it possible? Paul explains that to us in the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, with Jesus, that the body might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm alive in Christ. I have a future that goes beyond this world. And every one of us who is in Christ can depend upon that. We have that hope of eternal life in heaven with Him forever. Old man is crucified. The body of sin is done away. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we're now free from sin. What a blessing. What I was and what I am. The only place this becomes hard is if what you was is what you still are. And that needs to change tonight. Now, what I was, an old man spiritually, and what I am is an old new man, is a new man. And that's true. And listen, I use the word man there in the Scriptures is the word anthropos, which means man, people, mankind. So ladies, don't get upset with the preacher and say, oh, he's not talking to me. It's every one of you. There's no gender here. It's just the old man, mankind, now a new man in Christ. That means that spiritually you're recreated in Christ Jesus, the new man. I was an old man. I was living the old way. And then I found Jesus. And by His blood I was sanctified and washed and cleansed through obedience to the faith when I was dead and buried with Him in baptism. And I became a new man. The book of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Look at that. With me, Romans chapter 6, 1 through 6. You see what it says there? Paul says, what shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. The old man is being killed here. In baptism, we die spiritually with Christ. We come in contact with His blood, and then we're raised up through baptism. We're raised up by the hand of the Father, and then we walk in a newness of life, verse 4. In verse 5, He says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin may be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Newness of life. If we've been united together with Him in death, we'll be the same in the resurrection. And that's an exciting thought. And for those of you who are in Christ tonight, the old man is gone. What I was and what I am are two different things. Spiritually, you're recreated in Christ. You're dead to sin, alive in God. Every one of us can do exactly what they did on the day of Pentecost, when they listened to Peter preach Jesus. They repented and were baptized. If you haven't repented and been baptized tonight for the forgiveness of sins, then you're not in Christ and you are still what you were yesterday. But if you have the desire to meet with the Lord in that watery grave of baptism, then you can be something different when you walk out these doors tonight. You see, it's twofold. The saved are saying, yes, I have done that. I'm just like those people on the day of Pentecost, those 3,000 souls who were added to the church and who walked in the apostles' doctrine and fellowshiped with one another. They were once in their sins, and now they are in the righteous, through the righteous blood of Christ, walking in the light. That's something that you can do tonight. It's important. Because what it does is it sets you free from sin. That means that if you have things in your life that you do that you know are sinful, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that what you do is wrong sometimes. That the words that come out of your mouth aren't really righteous or clean. That the things you watch on the TV or the internet, the way in which you interact with friends. But if you want to change all that, you can go from being a sinner to being in Christ, cleansed, washed, sanctified by His blood. And there's great benefit in that. Because just like on the day of Pentecost, those souls were saved. They repented. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. They were added to something called the church, the body of Christ. And they now have a hope of eternal life. And that one thing, if you're not in Christ, you do not have a hope of eternal life. You may not think much about that right at this moment. But listen, when the Lord comes, you'll be thinking about that a lot. He will come. And so you can be what you was, or you can be what you should be. It's all up to you. You don't have to be slaves to sin. It's really simple. Just obey the Lord. God be thanked that you were once slaves. We were all at some point slaves to sin. But when you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine through which you were delivered, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're set free from sin. And dead, buried, raised in baptism. This means that you'll no longer be alienated, but now you're reconciled. You know, alienated, that's a word that you know, makes you think of space people, doesn't it? But that's not what it means. It means you're separated. It means you're apart from, that you have nothing to do with. The things you're separated from, the things that you're not a part of, and the things that you have nothing to do with are the kingdom of heaven, God's people. But when we change over to the side of being now reconciled, we're strengthened with all might. We're reconciled into one body through the cross. One body, the church. And we're not talking about a church. We're talking about the only church that exists on the face of the earth. We're not talking about churches that are named after men. We're talking about the church of Christ that was named after its head. The one church. And by the cross. There's no other way that you can be put into a proper relationship with God, with the Lord, without Christ, without the cross, and without the church. You see, Jesus came into the world born of a virgin, and He suffered. He taught His message, and then He was brutally crucified upon a cross. If there was no cross, no blood shed, there would be no salvation. But there was. And as a result of that, on the day of Pentecost, the church came into being. You need Christ, you need the cross, and you need the church. You know, next, when I think of that, what I was before and what I am, I think of Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 13. Now in Christ, you were once afar off, but have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. You know, there's so many in this world that don't understand that. They think Jesus is just a fable. They think Jesus is somebody that people in churches talk about. But Jesus historically was the real thing. Jesus was talked about in all kinds of secular historical books. Josephus referred to Jesus as a man in Jerusalem, if it was lawful to call him a man. That's what Josephus said. There was a man among the Jews in Jerusalem, if it's lawful to call him a man. And he did many signs and wonders among the Jews. That's Jesus. And you can be far off, not taking messages from the Lord serious. You can always be afar off. That's up to you. You know, we can laugh and joke about Jesus, but the truth is, you'll never be brought near without Him. But now in Christ Jesus, you were once afar off, but have been brought near by His blood. That means that they had a former state. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ, wrong verse. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. No hope without God. We all want to have hope, right? Some of us, when we're really young, we hope Santa Claus will come. Some of us, day to day, hope that our fathers will just come home. Some of us from day to day hope our mothers would just come home. Some of us hope that one of our friends will make up with us. But there's a great hope. And that hope is in heaven. And that comes by coming near to the blood of Christ. That was their former state without hope. But then there was a change. There was a change. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, Paul records a change in the church and the people in Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, and it happened that Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, He said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there was a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, Into what were you baptized? And they said, Into John's baptism. And as we read this, we realize that there's only one baptism. That's the baptism of Christ, and that John's baptism was not that baptism. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That's Jesus. Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The laying on of hands. They went from being disciples of John the Baptist to being disciples of Christ. And in that first century, it was very possible for an apostle to lay hands on somebody and for them to receive the Holy Spirit in a way that we can't today. They were far off and brought near by the blood of Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and 5 says, To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And I tell you of something that I greatly find joy and peace in. And when I went from being a stranger to being a fellow citizen, that's another point. That what I was and what I am. At one point in life, I was a stranger. I was a stranger even to people who knew me. I just didn't fit in. I didn't have purpose and I didn't have a point in life. Just day-to-day living. You know, my friends weren't really my friends. But there's a friend that you can have in Christ Jesus. Strangers before, strangers and foreigners, and now fellow citizens in Christ. If you're outside of Christ today, you're a stranger, you're a foreigner. If you're in Christ today, then you're a fellow citizen. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22 is a very good text to read. Now therefore you are no longer a stranger and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I am so glad I belong to the household of God. God's family. Because at one point in my life, I didn't have any of that. So what I was and what I am are two different things. Paul says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's where my foundation is. On Jesus. And he said, to whom the whole building fitly joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in which you are also being built for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You were once strangers. You were once foreigners. And you may be strangers and foreigners right now if you haven't obeyed the gospel. If you haven't sought Christ. But if you have, then you've changed. You're now fellow citizens in the kingdom of the Lord. And what amazing contrast for a stranger to become a fellow citizen. Again, I am really glad I belong to the household of God. Next and last is the awesome truth that in part, I am a part of something really big. You know what? I am a part of something really big. Something that you're not a part of if you're not in Christ. But if you are, then you're a part of something that has millions and millions of parts all around the world. Something that will one day, and it's the only thing that will be one day by Jesus carried up into heaven and delivered to God for eternity. All because of a change. Because I once was in the world, but now I've been translated into the kingdom of Christ. Ephesians 2 and 12 tells us that at one time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That's what it was one time. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says that He delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, the Son of His love. I once was world. I was a worldly man. I'm not going to go through that, but you've heard the stories, some of them. Angry, violent. Now I'm in the kingdom of Christ. I'm so glad to belong to the kingdom. You know, some say that there is no kingdom yet, that the kingdom has yet to be established. If you've ever gone to a denominational church like Methodist, Baptist, whatever, there's a strong chance, 99% chance, that your people are telling you that the kingdom hasn't come yet. The kingdom is yet to be established. But I want to tell you that I've been translated into the kingdom of the God, of the Son of God and His love. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John says, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom." This is John. He's the one that wrote the book of Revelation. He was the one that was inspired and saw all those wonderful, amazing things. And he said, "I, John, both your brother," in other words, he considers himself a member of the church, "and a companion in the tribulation and the kingdom." You see, the kingdom was already established. Jesus Christ was on... John was on the island called Patmos. And he wrote this letter, isolated. And yet he considered himself a brother, a companion, and in the kingdom. The kingdom's here. Make no mistake of it. And that kingdom is the only thing that's going to be delivered to heaven when it's all said and done. In the end of all time, the kingdom is not going to be set up like some people falsely teach. They teach that Jesus is going to come down from heaven. He's going to stand upon the earth for 1,000 years and set up His kingdom. And that's an outright lie. Because the kingdom is something we're all part of now if we're in Christ. It's not something that's going to be set up. It's something that's going to be delivered up. But to each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are in Christ in His coming. Then comes the end, and He delivers the kingdom to God the Father when He puts an end to all rule and all authority. That's what's going to happen in the end. Are you in that kingdom? Are you even trying to be serious about it? There is a kingdom on this earth. It's called the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the church. And if you're not in that church and Christ would come back tomorrow, you're going to be left behind. Not like in the movie. There's no second chances. You need to be in that kingdom. Because that's what's going to be delivered to heaven. And that's a place I want to be. It's not going to be set up, not delivered. It's going to not set up, but delivered. You know, look at yourself right now. In all seriousness, you just close your eyes and look at your life. What side do you fit on? Do you fit on the side that what I was? Is that what you still are? All those descriptions, lost, separated, dead in your sins, apart from Christ. What are you right now? And know what you can become by the power of Christ's blood. If you see that you need to make a change, then just do it. Right? Why would you wait? Because that change is going to change your whole life in many, many different ways. You need to make changes tonight. If you do, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.